9, reel 20.
Mr. William Holbrook, Reel 20. You were telling me about your demobilisation and the hold-ups you had.
Yes, went down to Dover that night, so you got held up in the train. When I came back, on my own down there, all the others, but when I came back, I couldn't find anybody in the camp much. So I said to them, I thought, I did that, 600 people here. So I went across the guard tent, I said, if I come to the wrong place, I said, but I came back from France today. I said, but about 600 others have been demobbed, there's no train. Always say they've run a special train, they've all come to London. They left me on my own, so I was left the day all night. So I didn't get demobbed till the next day on my own. They sent me in. But before getting demobbed was this, after we'd had this meat given us, this fat bacon and stuff, we sent fit, what they call fit clothing. Take clothing, see? So we all go in mind, and this is how we fit your clothing. We went down to the big room, walked over the table, and then some fellows would be sitting there looking, they'd get a pair of trousers and throw a match. You look that side, then you go further along, the fellow pick up the jacket, and they pitch that over to you. That, and you kept your own boots on, which you had in front of your damn boots. But I think you got some trousers, jacket, and socks. And that's all we got, and £25. That's how I did my blood. Yeah. When you go, because you wouldn't wear these, the trousers didn't fit you properly, and you know, somebody else would be wearing them. I wasn't new anything of that. That's how you got the case, you got them mobbed in. Maybe it's a goodbye, thank you, nothing else. Just gave you these trousers and jacket, £25 bugger
you.
Know.
Did you feel bitter about that? Did you feel bitter about the way you were
demobilised? Yes, I did. Yes. I thought you'd done better than that. But I mean, I ain't got any clothes to go back to, and money is there. I get the money much only most of it was 6 shillings a week. So that all the years, I said, sometimes they got a shilling a week. But yes, I did feel a bit about that, because when you see the war, the Second World War, what they got, and hundreds of pounds and all nice clothing, and yes, I did. I thought it was very, very poor. And nobody gets anything more to you about it. Not a thing. You got your army part allowance for about 3 months, I think. There's only about £2 and 3 pence a day, I think it was.
Did you manage to get a job all right?
Yes, we got demobilised. Yes, not too badly. I couldn't get a good job, but I got one at Dagenham Dock. A hard job that was. There's no work about much. But I used to go from my home to the Dagenham, and about 6 miles from the docks, I suppose. And of course, I couldn't get any bike, I couldn't afford bikes, so I hadn't got a bike. So I said, I tried to get on there, they wanted men there, or something like that. So I went over in the morning, so I had to get there at 6 o'clock in the morning, walk 5 miles, 6 o'clock in the morning, and line up, and the men would come along, and he picked so many, and the other went back. So I went up for about 10 days of fort every morning, 6 miles, 5 miles, or six miles back. And then suddenly he wanted 16. I was into 16. So I got this job. It was £3.5 a week. And the job was to unload clink. You know what clink is like? Oh, I don't like the clinker. And they'd clink off the barge into barrows, run the barrows up planks, and help build Ford's factory. I helped build a factory at Ford's over at Dagenham, the base of it. But this, you know, like getting clinker with a shovel nearly killed me. My mother used to give me up some apple turnovers. And
you went back to live at home then?
Yeah, I lived at home there. And I've got some other brothers here. I don't know how she managed. I don't. Never did.
Did you work there long? Did you work there long?
No, not too long, but I got some weeks. But bloody God, it was. And I was glad to get my brother-in-law. He got his job at he's a foreman or something, a factory chief, a floor factory chief at WG De Crowes at Acton, motor people, and he got me there. I didn't know about that sort of work. And then they closed down. I lived up there with him in Acton, and They closed down, and I got the job that also was the electric light people. I was there for some time until they went on strike or something. I thought, well, there's enough of that. So I'll go back to Dad and where I was at that time. I'll just go back to support my mother. Yeah, so, and then I thought, well, this is one point I get a job for myself. Also, he left me a couple of £100 when he died, when he got killed. So I then touched that, actually. And then I saved a little bit, and there's £25 I had, and I had a little bit at home. So I managed to rake up, I suppose, about £250. So I thought, I looked around, and I thought, well, so I get a shop if I can. So you should look down the paper, you know, and see different shops, greengrocers and grocery shops and newsagents and that sort of thing. Anyway, I saw one at Harrow and one at Manor Park, and then I thought, there's one wrong, but it's the same year as I was born here, you see. So I thought, well, I get that as a newsagent. So I went there, and I managed to buy that for 200 and someone, oh, 400 pounds, I think I got that for. I helped my mother and different people, and so I got this. So I kept it for I've had nearly 50 years there, that.
Just a couple of questions to tie up things. How do you think the war affected you as a person?
Well, I thought you'd robbed me of some better. I thought it robbed me a lot of my life. You know, I think I should have left the army at 5 years, you see. I did 12. I think 7 years I'd been robbed of the life of my mother. Got one place in peacetime and got on better. It's because of my experience. But,
Do you think it changed your character at all?
I think so. Yes, because I was a bit of a tear away as a boy, really. So I think that calmed me down. You have to laugh because when I joined the, I got the army, you know. I did the South Orange, that's once just over here, and I was a bit of a bug at school and that. But there's an old boy there named Tedder, Mr. Tedder. He had a cottage near us, and an allotment, and I was a devil in his allotment. He said, I said, torment the life of that man. I've got a brother's, and I've heard him come up to my mum and say, Mr. Oldbury said, that boy of yours, it'll be the plague of my life. I shall die for him. She said, kill me. He said, what he does, like that. And yet, when I joined the army, he come up to our house, it's about a quarter of a mile away, and saw me in the morning, went away, and cried and gave me a shilling. A boy cried, shed tears and gave me a shilling for myself. And I went, my older brother gave me a shilling. That's all I had, 2 shillings. I had no overcoat, no toilet, nothing in the toilet, right? The toothbrush and soap and that sort of thing.
How did you feel about the Royal Fusiliers, as you know, you'd served with them for all those years?
I think no regiment like them, I didn't think there was.
Did you feel that towards the regiment or to the battalion, the 4th Battalion?
I liked the regiment, but I thought the 4th was the best battalion of the war, naturally. Well, if the start, we won the first 2 DCs of the 1914 war, first day, you see? And we had our colonel was. That colonel you see in there, the colonel McMahon, and they loved him, everybody did.
What did you know about the rest of the regiment? Because there was a lot of battalions.
Yeah.
Would you have close links with the other
battalions? Oh, yes.
You'd know who was who?
We knew where each one was stationed, and there was only 4 battalions then, those days.
No, but I mean afterwards, during the war.
Oh, yes, yes.
You knew who the 2nd, 4th and the 9th were.
There's all different battalions then, the 28th battalion. No, 78 battalions, I think there were. Tricky number.
Would you know which was which?
No, we'd know the first probably 10 or a dozen. The others were dotted there. And you know where they're in the vicinity, and that's all you can see them probably. And
what were relationships like between the battalions?
Oh, fine. This is to give an instance. I went up to the tower about 5 years ago, and the vintage lunch of 1914-18 men. They run every year, don't they, up there? So about 5 years ago, I was up there, and as I passed along the room, the association hall, but I was going to get a drink, I heard some group of officers talking, and heard one say to the other, you'll never find another battalion in the Fusiliers in like the 4th. He said, the finest officer that's ever been in this regiment is the Colonel McMahon. And I didn't know, please, I didn't say anything, but I heard talking to one another. He said, that Colonel, he said, he's the finest officer in the regiment. He said, and his battalion was the finest battalion. I thought, jolly good that was. Didn't say that, to think that. But Well, they were real good, but I mean, but the opposite of what they thought the world would be. When he got killed, he thought the world had come to an end. He absolutely cut up the regiment, the battalion.
Thank you very much, Mr. Holbrook.